This episode is brought to you by FX's The Veil, starring Elizabeth Moss. FX's The Veil is an international spy thriller that follows two women as they play a deadly game of truth and lies on the road from Istanbul to Paris and London. One woman has a secret, and the other has a mission to reveal it before thousands of lives are lost. FX's The Veil premieres April 30th, only on Hulu.
Hey there! Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower-than-low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Hey, everybody, and welcome to the Rogue Rebels Podcast. I am your host, Sal. With me is your other host, Lizzie.
Hello.
And we are here to talk comic books. I mean, it's not. Yeah.
I actually read some.
You did? And you liked them? Question mark?
Yes.
Good.
I don't like the art. But that's fine. Well, awesome. I liked it for 9 through 13.
Interesting. Well, I think that's the same artist as the first ones. But anyway, we're talking about the Dr. Aphra comics, but we're going back to the first run, the 2016 run, which takes place after A New Hope, but before Empire Strikes Back. And if you like know more of Aphra's story or listen to that Dr. Aphra audiobook, it's after that. Although, mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, because even when she's recording the story, she's talking about, okay. Pretty sure it's after that.
Yeah.
And then also, it is after the, like, you know, the 2015 Darth Vader 25-issue run, which is basically the events of that, but more Darth Vader. You know. Yeah. Same events, though. Yeah, nope. Okay, so I have little notes here that I'm going to... So Dr. Aphra comics, we're talking the first three arcs. One of them's a crossover. So we have Aphra, then we have the Screaming Citadel crossover, and then we have Dr. Aphra and the Enormous Prophet. So that's like the first, it's the first taste.
I read
three course meal.
Like, I read everything, and then I went back to the annual.
Mm-hmm.
And I was very confused for a second because I was like, wait, this is before. And I just realized I read them out of order.
Well, even then, like, the annuals are kind of separate. So, like it connects to the story that's happening at the time.
Yeah.
But it also, like, it's like a whole different time. And you're like, wait, what's going on? Oh, this was a long time. And then when you get to the other part in the comics, you're like, oh, that's why, or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
They're pretty much all written by Kieran Gillen, except for the crossover, because it's like Jason Aaron and Gillen, because crossovers are like written by, you know, it's got Star Wars issues in there too.
Mm-hmm.
But like Kieran Gillen is the person who Kieran Gillen, I don't know how to pronounce their name.
What, how's it spelled?
K-I-E-R-O-N.
Yeah, Kieran.
Sure. I've never heard it out loud, I suppose. Never thought about it until this moment when I decided to do a podcast about it. Anyway, Dr. Aphra Comics, a great character, a great series, in my opinion. I think you are learning, and it's just all kinds of fun and craziness.
Oh, you said this was horror?
So the crossover is horror vibes.
Oh.
I feel.
It's more like, I had a word for it, now it's gone. More like a survival, kind of like of the fittest.
More, I mean, that's a horror thing.
Horror. Yeah, but like...
That's a horror genre, survival horror.
I guess, but like the person wasn't scary.
It wasn't
like a monster. It was just like...
I mean, to me it was like... I guess we'll get to it, but I would say it was like It was like a vampire movie, I guess.
Vampire movie.
That's what I would call it. Like, that's what I would compare it to.
I watch a lot of vampire movies besides Twilight. Mm-hmm. I don't think that really counts.
Right. Okay.
For
real
obvious
quick,
reasons.
Real quick, business time. TheRogueRebels.com. All things The Rogue Rebels are there. We have a Facebook page. Go like it. We're on Instagram, TikTok, Hive, Blue Sky, Threads. I said Hive. At The Rogue Rebels. We're on Twitch at Rogue Rebels. We are on Twitter at Rogue Rebels Fam. Yeah. We're on Spotify. We're everywhere you listen to podcasts, where you're listening to us right now. If you can rate or review us or give us 5 stars, or thumbs up, or whatever you can do, please.
You should put your music on Spotify.
Pretty please. But I don't have any music anymore. Very little music.
Yeah, the old music.
I'm going to have to make a whole other account. To use
yeah,
another
just put
email.
It on there.
Let's see. I mean, I don't want to... There's not a whole lot of news. There's new Dr. Aphra stuff. Right now, there's more horror stuff going on. Dark Droids is happening. And it's even more horror, and it's great.
It's just droids. It's not scary.
This one...
Give me monsters.
Yeah, this one is definitely not monsters. But this one's pretty cool. Jango Fett is coming next year because Bounty Hunters is ending. Mm-hmm. And Nomini Patri.
What was that movie?
Pray for Valance.
Like, it was like we went to the movies and there was a trailer and Tamora Morrison was there.
I think it was what Aquaman.
Movie? Oh, yeah, it was.
I mean, I don't... Okay. I don't, yeah, it's Aquaman. And I'm pretty like that's the only thing I've seen Tamora in recently that's not Boba. Mm-hmm. And then at Happy High Republic Day, it is comic book day. So I went and got my Shadows of Starlight #2 and my High Republic Phase 3 #1. And today is also the day that they released those new episodes of Young Jedi Adventures. And you know, I normally don't do this, but I sort of just skipped to the episodes that had Loden and Bell. Mm-hmm. So I could see Loden and Bell on the thing. I tried to find the one with Starlight Beacon, but I couldn't find it. So now I just have to like watch the other three because it's clearly one of the ones that I didn't pick. I was like, maybe it's this one. Maybe it's this one. Okay, I'm done with my lunch. I got to go get ready now. You know. Sir. Sir puppies. All right. But yeah, that's basic.
Give comics. Me a horror with Bingo in it. Bingo is the monster.
Lame. Not scary. I mean, yeah, you can debate the scariness of what the thing was, but I think it is intended to be horror, just okay. Even though you weren't scared by it.
I think, I don't know, what scares you like in a horror?
Look,
like
I would say you just took us to go see Five Nights at Freddy's. That wasn't particularly scary to me, but no, I recognize it as a horror film.
It's not. It was like so sad that it wasn't.
I mean, are the games scary? Is it supposed to be scary?
I mean, they're scary in the way that it's like jump scares. And it didn't feel like there were a lot of jump scares. Like there was one, two, mm-hmm. but it was like not
yeah, but
even,
that's
like,
not
the
scary.
Main character.
Well, I guess like, okay.
Well, it makes, yeah.
Like, I like horror that's like you're worried about the characters, not just because, you know, like a TikTok can have a fucking jump scare. You know what I mean? Like, that's not good writing. That's not well done. I like horror that makes you think, but that's just me. Anyway, we're not talking about horror yet. We're talking about Dr. Aphra and the first storyline of her own series. Now, like, I'm going to give you a little, like, inside baseball. Back when this was happening, people had been complaining about Dr. Aphra for a little bit. And by people, I mean, like, stupid YouTube.
Oh, okay.
Like, whoa, why are there all, like, female kids? Like, oh, she's getting her own series. That's never going to, like, people don't buy girls in comics or whatever. And I don't, like, well, now I should have researched this before I said crap. Because I feel like her comics are very successful. I know they won an award. I know this series in particular won an award maybe a year ago or 2 years ago or further. Another thing that I shouldn't have said before I thought about it. All I know is that I enjoy these comics quite a bit. I enjoy these characters quite a bit. And I think the series does well.
Like, I feel like a lot of people at least know her, you know?
Particularly in the comics realm. Mm-hmm. Like, of course, if you ask somebody who, like, just watches Mandalorian or something, they're not going to know anything about it.
Oh, yeah.
But there was a pretty big contingent of us who, when, like, Black Chrysanthemum shows up in Boba Fett, we were like, oh, Dr. Aphra's friend. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean? And the fact that they, like, took a character from this to put over there, also pretty cool.
Wish it was Aphra, but yeah.
Well, I don't think she does the same ultimate fighting thing that he does.
No, but still.
Yeah, like, it would have been awesome to see Dr. Aphra, but I just, like, Boba needed people on his team. He needed a berserker, he needed, like, some mod motorcycle people, and he needed a Cobb Vanth with no armor. Mm-hmm. And then he needed a Din with armor. So, yeah. Like, I get his team lineup. And then awesome Assassin Fennec. Mm-hmm. Super lethal in every way. Yeah. So the first series is about her, and, like, she's going through stealing stuff, and she, like, her father comes back, and he had her doctorate, like, revoked. And
it's kind of rude.
Yeah, he's got, like, clues to the, like, Citadel of Rur that he's been hunting, of the Ordre Respectu, this...
Since she was little.
Yeah, this, like, this offshoot of Jedi that he's been obsessed with her whole life. And so, like, they go, and they find that, and it turns out it's, like, a...
There's a lot of bad parenting in Star Wars.
Techno. Yeah. I mean, I guess, but that's, like, life.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, that's not a...
I was just saying it out loud, because, like, I mean, especially
in this one. Like, yeah, very much says, like, hey, I was trying to, like, find a way to bring the Jedi back to make a better galaxy for your future.
Yeah. But, like, again, there was the whole thing. I guess when I remembered her dad, I was remembering what she told us in, like, right, her audio drama, and how, like, he would use her to get, like, books and, like, steal stuff, mm-hmm, and put her in dangerous places.
Yeah.
And then so the mom left him. And.
But that's, like, her point of view, right?
Yeah.
Like, from her point of view, she was like, oh, like, he was just obsessed with his thing and he didn't spend time with me. And then when he did spend time with me, he was like, it was only because he needed help with his thing. And then from his point of view was like, look, I got engrossed in this thing and I got obsessed with it because I was trying to find a way to bring the Jedi back, because the whole, ever since they've been gone, the galaxy is horrible and people were being killed. But even he was like, look, I missed out on your life and I should have been paying attention, but I was trying to make it safer, but I shouldn't have let that let me miss everything. You know, so there is.
He says that when he's dying. That's not fair.
He's not dying. He's fine. He just got punched a little or shot or whatever happened. Did he get lightsabered? He didn't die.
He did.
No, he didn't.
Literally got blown up, didn't he?
No, he didn't. Slipping through the book. He did not die.
I'm also...
He ends up at the other thing, like...
Pages and...
No, she drops him off, right?
Freaking slow today.
Yeah, he, like... He stabs Magna Tolvan and then, like... He leaves.
Dang it.
He does not die.
That's unfortunate.
But they do part ways.
I swear he was gonna die or something.
Yeah, he got, like, shot or whatever when they were in the Citadel. Remember, she's, like, patching him up and he can't really, like, run and all that.
Marvel Comics was slow today and it was making me upset.
Oh, yeah? Well, next time you come over, I can just, like, give you the graphic novels.
Like, I was trying to flip through. Mm-hmm. And usually when it's, like, the last... few comics, it was like Chris Anton just fighting people. Mm-hmm. I was like, okay, skip, 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 skip. And then it just was like loading. And I was like, why? Well,
that's why, because you're skipping, skipping, skipping. It doesn't have time to load ahead of you.
I was like, why?
You didn't even look at the...
It's
loading.
It's literally not even words, you know, on the paper.
You're like, why is it so fast? And the app is like, you didn't even look at the last three pages I loaded. Why do I even load? Yeah. So they end up finding the lost Citadel of Rur, which is, like, where that ancient order, and they were trying to, like, find immortality. And basically the Jedi uploaded its consciousness to the thing, and it can take control of technology?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pretty so much. Because it's...
Pretty sick.
Which I don't get how... I don't know, like... I did like how in the beginning, in the, like, the first few issues, I think it's the first issue actually, where Aphra's telling the story of what her dad told her,
mm-hmm,
but also it seems like she remembers it differently, mm-hmm, or she can't remember it fully, and then he tells it and it's like not completely different, but pretty sure in hers it was like the Sith were trying to find immortality and blah 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 blah. But then in his it was like the Jedi were trying to find immortality and were doing wrong things to find immortality. Which is like, why would you want to bring those people back?
To guard the galaxy.
But they're unethical Jedi.
Oh, well, I mean, like they're, yeah, immortal. Whatever they were doing that was like dependent on technology, or that they were doing things that were against the Jedi code, presumably. Because, like, it never really says what they were doing that was so bad.
And were they official, like, Jedi? There was, like,
well, this is all we ever learn of them so far. So, but, and, like, with the story you're talking about, they're telling the same story, but just in her version, like,
yeah,
the Jedi are all in black and they're bad people and they're like dark or whatever, you know, like, because she's like, they probably weren't good if they were trying to find immortality.
I mean,
and he's like,
right.
No, these pure heroes. And like in his story, they're like all wearing white and like,
yeah,
you know, but like, I did like that. That's a really cool, like Rashomon moment. And then like the actual story is kind of like a little bit of both. Like the one Jedi becomes like whatever.
Obsessed.
Yeah, like obsessed with it, and it becomes an obsession, much like this dude.
Yeah.
Much like Daddy Avra. What's his name? Corin?
I don't know.
Yeah, that's his name.
Mr. Chelly?
Yes. No, her name is Chelly.
Oh,
the mom's
Chelly.
Name
Alona
is Chelly.
Alona Avra. My bad.
Yeah.
Because I was like, Avra. That's her first name.
Mm-hmm.
No, that's her last name.
Yeah.
So
she's
Mr.
Dr.
Avra. Well, there's only one, okay? Yes. Only one true doctor after.
No, apparently not. Her dad's a doctor, too. And he used his doctorate to, like, undo her doctorate.
That's so rude.
Like, excuse me, Madam Aphra, or whatever. He's like, well, you actually, like, messed this up anyway. Because she did kind of, like, steal and lie to get her doctorate.
Who doesn't?
Him, apparently.
For their doctorate.
But, like, I like the whole intro that's basically, like, Raiders of the Lost Ark, but she's Belloc.
Mm-hmm.
Like, the guy gets out of the thing, and he's like, I can't believe I made it. And you think it's her, because it's, like, a masked individual stealing an artifact and, like, escaping the traps. And then he just gets shot, and she's like, sweet. And then at one point, they're like, what? What happened? I thought you were dead. And she's like, no, he left me for dead, but I wasn't. And then he got the treasure, and then I left him for dead, but he was. That's like the best part. Like the best quote.
Yeah, I think I just really like Aphra and just how funny she is.
Mm-hmm.
So I really liked the last, what was it? I think it was like issue number 13. Like a lot. But anyway, yes.
I like the voice that he gives her. I forgot, like, I mean, she's still much more glib in the, like, currently Alyssa Wong is writing her stuff.
Mm-hmm.
But there's, like, so many more characters now. So there's, like, a lot more of them all playing off against each other in, like, different circumstances. But in these early issues, like, there's so much of her. Like, and she's with Black Chrysanthemum, who, like, doesn't really talk. So she's not really playing off of anybody as much, other than, like, the murder droids.
Mm-hmm.
The one that does talk. So it's just so funny to hear her dialogue a lot more in these earlier issues. Ooh. And I also really like that, what is it? I actually like the art style from like the first and the last arc. I always feel like a cartoony Aphra fits the vibe well.
Because
there's like something a little, it's not like so serious comic art.
It didn't seem as cartoony in the first few ones to me.
Mm-hmm.
It's just the style I don't like, where it's more realistic. I don't know, because in the last ones feel a lot more cartoony to me.
I think it's the same artist who does the first and the last ones.
I don't know. Maybe it was like the outfit she was wearing.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Yeah, I'm pretty sure it is. Is it Walker? I'm trying to like look it up now.
But yeah, Chelly does not like her dad.
Mm-hmm.
I don't
and either. I like at one point she like doesn't turn the thing off, so like they have to have this moment, and she's like, no, I just wanted to talk. Okay, fine, I'll stop it now. Like, now you can get up, let's go. And he's like, I thought we were trapped. No, I just needed a minute to talk to you, and you never actually listen until we're in danger.
Yeah,
that was cute. Let's see, we got murder droids. Yeah, that was cute.
That's horrible.
It's cute. She was trying. And there's one part where like So they go to Yavin because he's like the Masasi temples blah, blah, blah.
And they do a Legend of Zelda like puzzle.
Yeah. Or a Jedi Survivor if you play video games like me.
Yeah, Legend of Zelda.
And then when they're in the Masasi temples, she's like, really? Like, that's why, like, you, like, why do we have to, there's nowhere else? And he's like, what do you mean? Why is the Empire here? And she's like, okay, the Death Star? And he's like, well, I mean, I heard about it. I didn't know it was like, he's like, I don't keep up with this stuff much. I'm like, too busy. And she's like, yeah, just like you were too busy to like raise me.
It's so interesting though, like this huge thing that happened and like planets were literally destroyed. Well, I guess one time. But like, and he was just like, nah, I'm not gonna.
Yeah, he was like, well, I wasn't really paying attention. He was like, and then he says something like, oh, I thought that was like a rumor, you know, because of all like the misinformation or whatever, in theory, that they're spreading. But anyway, there's one part in there that I just really like where, like, they're escaping the stormtroopers and they're like having a shootout. And Triple Zero's like, oh no, I'm like not really fast. And like BT-1 drops out little foot pedals and like he rides BT-1 out. I don't know why that makes me laugh. So yeah, they end up following the thing to the Ordru Spec 2, and then like Chelly's looting the bodies for lightsabers while they go in, and he's like, oh, how dare you rob the dead? And she's like, nah, these are worth a lot. I can always sell a good lightsaber on the black market.
Like they're not gonna use it.
Yeah.
Mine now.
And then they like wake up the thing, and like the officer is after her is Officer Tolvan, who like this is where we first meet Magna Tolvan.
Yeah, they did her dirty. They
keep
her
saying that. You just don't like her OG look?
No, I mean, I like, I've seen other comic scenes of her. Like, it's mostly, I don't know, because like whenever I look up Aphra, like she pops up sometimes. And like the art that I see of her is good and I like it. I'm like, oh, okay, I don't know who this person is, but apparently they're girlfriends. I don't know. Which is how I like knew she was a thing. I kept asking you about her, and you were like, no.
Yeah, you gotta read these comics.
And I was like, oh my god. And I was like, okay, well. And then we get introduced to her. I was like, ew. What did Aphra see in these? This.
Just because you and Aphra don't have the same taste.
No, I like Sana. Sana's cool. I don't know who else she dates. We don't see.
No. Keep reading.
Okay.
She, like, I like at the point, like, because it comes up a few times. She's like, ooh, who's that cute officer? Like, a semi-cyborg officer. And then she, like, chases her down. She's fighting them at the temple when they're trying to escape. And then she, like, no, that's what happens. Her dad stabs her in the shoulder, and they sort of take her hostage, and they just leave her. And she's like, well, it would have been safer to kill you, but you're cute. And she, like, lets her go. And I was like, oh, that's funny and cute. And then so they're like, oh, we finally did this thing, and... You know, like we now there's the end of, you know, he's finally like found the end of whatever knowledge he was ever going to find chasing that lead. And then now they need to put that thing into like quarantine because it's really dangerous. And she's like, cool. And everybody parts and she gets her doctorate back. And then she's like, well, did you ever hear about the one time that they rescued that ancient like force artifact with the consciousness of a long dead Jedi and then turned it over to quarantine? Well, the one I turned in was a fake.
Yeah.
So, like, let's get some real money.
I don't get how, like, how? Like, how did they not, like, look at it and was like, make sure that this is real.
How would they, I mean, I don't know.
But that's the thing, how would they know? So why would they take it?
Well, my thing is, like, she probably knows better than them how to make one, in theory. Like, how to make one that looks real, you know? Clearly, she's a
expert?
Yeah, an expert in this kind of thing.
Yeah.
You know?
I just confused how that can work and get away with. I mean, technically, maybe they do find out later, and then possibly, too late, but...
Yeah.
Anyway. So that happens, and then, what, it's the annual?
No, now we go to Screaming Citadel.
Oh.
Because from there, she's like, well, I need to activate this thing. I need a Jedi. And Screaming Citadel is like, it's a crossover series with Star Wars. It's like very much like in a horror vein, like I said, vampires, kind of, maybe zombies, but maybe like something like that, body snatchers. Short thing. It's only like 5 issues. I think it's definitely not my favorite crossover. Like Vader Down fit together way better and flowed. And then I think whatever came next, which was what, like War of the Bounty Hunters, was also like really, really good. So I think like out of all of them, I think this is the one that like some people don't really like. Mm-hmm. I like some of it. I don't know if I like all of it, but I really love the first issue and the art, like Chichetto. I love like the art in the very first issue. Because you'll see the art like jumps around. Like it's like all like cool 90s style. And then it's like comic booky. And then it's like, what's that dude's name? LaRocca, who was doing Star Wars for a while. So you have these weird like painted faces with weird bodies.
Yeah.
Like
honestly, the art was really good. It was like, I don't know how to describe it. Like how they drew Aphra specifically.
Mm-hmm.
She looks very like not gothy, but she reminds me of like the singer from Evanescence. I don't know. Like,
are you talking about like on the cover?
Oh,
I don't know.
No, I guess the one. There's one panel where it's just her and she's at the door.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's just the hair. That's from the first issue, I think. Yeah. Her makeup is, yeah.
Yeah. So that's Chichetto. That's the artist that I like. He did something else. I can't remember what it was. But he's done a lot of like Star Wars comics. I like his art. Like, I like his Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I like a lot of his stuff. So she goes to find Luke, basically. She's like, hey, I need you to open this thing for me. Then we're going to like go over here and we're going to do this thing. We have to go meet with this queen so that they can get us something. And then, like, she dresses him up. So he's all, like, super classy. And I always thought that was really cool.
Mm-hmm.
And then, like, she's kind of dressed up, too. And then it's, like, this weird vampire queen who's, like, feeding off of the entire village. And, like, the whole story is how it's basically, like, these symbiotes that, like, infect the brainstem of the people. And then they have, like, a hive mind. So she's able to, like, feed off of all of it. Like, through them, she feeds.
Mm-hmm.
Or something. So it's like horror, like the thing, it's almost like Alien, you know, you get caught by one of these things and then you're one of them. But then it kind of turns into a weird, like, well,
it's very Victorian.
Yeah, like the art style is very like, you know, very like new age gothic or something. Like,
yeah.
But it's like fun and it's crazy and it's like weird, like Star Wars weird. And then like you have the people are, you know, Luke and Han and Leia are trying to find Luke. And then like Han gets infected by the thing and then he's the general because his like mind is smarter. So like wherever you fit in the hierarchy, like the queen is the strongest psychic whatever, so like she controls the hive. And then like the queen and Luke are fighting, so like they're not controlled, like their minds are occupied. So like Han is the leader of the hive now because like his mind is next strongest or whatever. Like it's such a weird like little thing, but it was kind of funny where he was just like, "Huh, I'm myself." Like, and I can just the hear his stupid voice.
Outfit is so nice.
Which one? The like red and black, weird dressy thingy, her, like, corset, crown. Spikes, hail helmet, hair.
Yes.
Yeah, it's pretty rad. Yeah, very like gothic vampire vibes is what I got when I first read it.
I'm sending you a photo, but like you were saying, like the art style is really cool. This I like this part. Hold on, I'm sending. It's like kind of like they're in the rain, and there's like two. Well, there's like, you know, the background, but then the characters are like two different colors, which is like just red and black.
Mm-hmm.
And they're like they look like shadows, but like there's some portions of them that are red. Like the queen, like her hair is red and like her dress is red, but like her skin and everything else is black.
Oh, there's like a really like negative, like negative style silhouetted, but like the colors pop out.
Yes.
Yeah, that's cool. I can't even remember what issue that's from. I thought it was the Chichetto. I thought you were like the rain, and I was like, oh, it's like the Chichetto. Oh no, you're right. It is Chichetto. Yeah, that's the artist that I like from this series. Like, I think all of his stuff, his expressions are really, really well done, which is important in these comics sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
I'm, like, way less of a fan of LaRocca stuff. Like, that weird photo. He does, like, these weird photorealistic faces, which is, like you look at them and you're like, oh, this is just a picture of, like, Carrie Fisher. He just, like, drew the rest of her around it or whatever. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And it's, like, like he's really good at that, but then like sometimes the body, like it looks like it doesn't match a lot of the time. So you'll like Dr. Aphra will have this like crazy it looks like a real person, but then like the rest of like her shoulders are too small and she looks like she has a giant head, or it doesn't, like the rest of it never fits for me sometimes. Like, and the lighting is all weird. Like, the faces are all super detailed, and then everything else looks, like, sketched out. Hmm. I don't know. He's never been one of my favorite artists, but, you know. Whatever. That's just my opinion. I couldn't draw it, so I guess.
That's why I always get scared. I'm like, I don't like this, but also I can't draw better than this.
Yeah, I'm like, well, I it's not my favorite, but he better than me, though. Like, good thing I'm not drawing this comic book. Yeah. I cannot take his job. So yeah, like that's the whole thing. And then at the end of the thing, it's like Luke and like they infect Luke with the thing. So that way, because he's like, because then they're crazy. Like, oh,
she
didn't
should have put him in a like a gothic outfit to match. Right. Like more gothic.
He should have kept on his outfit that like Aphra dressed him in.
Yeah.
His like fancy suit.
They get Chris. No, they don't get Chrysanthemum, do they? No.
So
there's just one crazy panel.
He's locked
him.
Up. But what happens is the murder droids are like, oh no, they're coming for us. We need something to like fight them with. And they're like, wait, what if we implant one of these in Chrysanthemum and it'll just make him like, and like then Chrysanthemum basically becomes this like rabid werewolf. Because he's like.
Oh, yeah. So it's like, right here. It's right here.
But they like, surgeries it in his head. He's like, we don't have time for it to like implant itself. And he just like cuts them open and puts it on his skull.
Mm-hmm.
So that was pretty, like, another horror thing. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then he's basically, like, this unstoppable werewolf creature, which is pretty rad.
He looks more horrifying than he already was.
Yeah. And he's all, like, he's running on all four. Like, there's a few things where he's, like, running off to kill people, and he's, like, you know, like, on four limbs. You know, he's not even walking anymore. He's, like, all bestial. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I thought it was cool. So basically, like, Aphra, like, sells everybody out to the thing and, like, gives the crystal and is like, okay, well, let me go. And here, I'll give you a Jedi. And then the, like, vampire queen is, like, draining Luke's life force. And then she's, like, starts feeling guilty, apparently, which never happens. And then everybody's like, what? Aphra came back? And she comes back and she, like, she infects Luke.
Yeah.
Which means
Luke is trying to fight it.
Well, but when she implants, it's like, it's almost like he's in control because like his mind is also the strongest. So he doesn't get enslaved like the others because he's like just as strong as the queen. And then they have this like psychic battle. But then like while they're psychic battling, all the other ones are free or like under the underling. So it's like the next in line is like Han Solo and these other two lieutenants that are like trying to fight each other. And Han's like, oh, just shoot him. Like, and then like Luke frees himself from the infection and then just kills her with a lightsaber, which
is how it works.
Yeah. So you're like, oh, all right. And then I think they're like, well, what are we supposed to do? Like, this is like unsafe and blah, blah, blah. And they like, I think they just blow up the whole town,
yeah,
which is like unfortunate.
To burn the town. Yeah.
And everybody's like, was that necessary? How could you? And she's like, look, they can't, like, the infection is like, this infection is so dangerous that they can never get free. And I'm like Alien. That's what they do in Alien movies. So yeah.
I don't like Sana and Aphra interactions after the audio drama.
Well, this is like, this is still probably soon after that, like, this would be after Rebel Jail, right? So like, after she escaped from the jail.
Yes.
And they're still, like, not on good terms yet?
Yeah, but everything that Sana says just hurts. Like, I was just reading, like, there's one part where, you know, Aphra's like, where did it go wrong with us? And Sana's like, we met. And I'm like, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And it wasn't, like, that's even worse. It's like, because I would have been fine if she was like, well, you, like, were selfish and you did this. But it was just, we met.
Yeah, Sana's still very bitter.
That's fair.
It's so funny because she's like, there's another line like that, and she's like, what does she say? She's like, you know, what did you ever see in her or something? And she's like, yeah, you, I don't know. You got me. No clue. So yeah. So I don't know. It was like funny to see all the people together. And then it was also just like wild and crazy comics that are ridiculous when psychic battle power battles and a horror vibe with like this gothic castle and queen and vampire life energy stuff.
Where is it? No, I'm trying to think of, I swear there's like another movie or show where there's a psychic battle and I can't my finger on it.
I think there's plenty of them.
Yeah, there's plenty. I was like.
Yeah, you're right. I can't think of one right
one
now.
One in specific, but I don't know. Anyway.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And then we get to the next.
The horror vibe was definitely there.
Mm-hmm.
Just feel like there could have been more.
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. It wasn't like super scary or I didn't jump out of my seat or anything in terror. But like it was meant to be a horror and I read it as a horror. And it was definitely like horror for the characters. You know what I mean? So yeah. So the next little piece we have is the Dr. Aphra and the Enormous Prophet series. And so you got the annual that sort of goes back to like...
Oh wait, you didn't talk about how like there's like two dumb people that go to the ruins and then gets possessed.
The ruins of Rur?
No.
No, that's right. Yeah, at the very end of Screaming Citadel. That's mm-hmm. right, I remember. There's like two, there's like, kid, they're kids, right?
I think so. I guess
they just look young. Like, I don't know. Okay.
They look like, just like...
Hush, puppy. Echo's scared that they're going to get loose again.
Oh, no.
He's like, I was scared. I jumped out of my seat.
Yes. Okay.
Mm-mm. Yes, there's totally like a little post-credit scene where two people are like, man, everything was destroyed. At least we're free now. I am the master.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. But I like that this was also, these are those symbiotes that like she faked from the escape from the teacher. And like, that's how she got her doctorate in the first place.
Really?
I think so. Because that's what they were, Aberson symbiotes. And remember she was like, when she like found the professor's hidden thing, it was like, oh, these are supposed to be hidden. You could be in trouble just, and he's like, ah, who are they going to believe? Like, stupid student who gets in trouble or a like tenured professor who had the respect. You're like, that's why you'll always fail, you know. And then so she fakes that as her discovery, and then like they quarantine, they kill them all, like, and all that stuff, and then he can't ever say that she stole them from him, because like that's then he would have to admit having them and not quarantining them or whatever, you know. So it's like she did a very Dr. Aphra thing.
I will say I'm very upset that in this next issue, because it shows like Aphra in like kind of a very Leia dress,
mm-hmm.
and it doesn't happen. Okay.
Yes, you and your mom.
It doesn't even happen.
So that solicitation for that issue came out like, you know, the solicitations come out like 3 months before. So they're like, yeah, Doctor issue number 9 is coming out. And you're like, oh my God, like, what is this about? Like, Brack Chrysanthemum is all like, balled up with a cloak with gold inlays on it and stuff, and his hair braided. Mm-hmm. And then Dr. Aphra has a very, like you said, Leia-like thing with silver, like, manacles, or, no, that's a prison thing, silver bracelets. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and in the comic, she's, like, wearing a different, like, black party dress kind of thing. And, like, a mask.
Like, I still like the outfit. Oh, but I will say it was super funny because I guess... Like, when I was reading comics at you guys' house, like, it was mm-hmm. fine and all cool, because there was usually always something going on in the house. Mm-hmm. So, like, it was, like, I'm not diagnosed, but my brain was like, I can't just read this comic. Something else has to be happening. So I was trying to read it here, and I had literally no distractions. Nothing was going on. The dogs in my neighborhood weren't even barking,
mm-hmm.
and I was like, I need something in the background. I was like, if I put a movie or a show, I'm going to get more distracted. I can't do that. So I played music on my phone while mm-hmm. I was reading it on my phone. And honestly, it was kind of the best choice ever. Mm-hmm. because now I'm not going to say my playlist is like, oh, it's exactly like what Aphra would do, or like Aphra's vibe or anything like that. But it was, but it, like, I really enjoyed these few issues that we're gonna get into so much because, one, they were just really good, and Aphra was, like, you know, slaying with her outfit the entire time, like, boots the house down. But I was playing music. It was Lady Gaga, and it was, like, Mitski. And you know Lady Gaga, right?
I know who she is. I don't think I could tell you one of her songs.
Bad Romance? Maybe I don't know, is, like, what that sounds popular. Like, but... Poker Face?
Okay. I've,
like,
heard
that's
that one.
Yeah. That's her vibe of okay. songs.
So just like pop, yeah.
Yeah, but like it's like very like, I don't, yes, pop. And, oh yeah. No.
Echo said, see, it's kind of lame, but it's fine.
No, Echo said he loves Lady Gaga. But it was, and then it was like Mitski, and Mitski is like complete opposite, where she's like, her music is kind of really depressing, but it's in a way that like her, most of her songs are talking about how she can't, like, love other people because of how she grew up. Like, her parents didn't hold her enough. Therefore, like, when she gets new relationships, no one holds her. Or, like, people leave her a lot because she has anger issues and blah, blah, blah. Her music is beautiful, too. And so that, like, Mitski is kind of who I think, like, with these characters, like, Aphra, mm-hmm. Izzy, and, like, It's Cat, I feel like they would all be Mitski fans. So I just thought it was really funny and it fit the vibe a lot, especially because, it played one song, it's called, My Love, Mine, All Mine. And, it was a part where, like, it wasn't supposed to be sad, but to me it was really sad because later on in the issue, like, you know, the robot turns on them.
Mm-hmm.
How do you say it? Rur?
That's what I say.
Okay.
How many options do we have? Rur? Yeah.
Rur? Yeah.
It's only three letters.
I don't know. So, you know, Rur, like, you know, is killing everyone. And then BT and Triple Zero, they both leave her.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, Chris Anton leaves her. And while it wasn't supposed to be sad, I think... Like, in my head, I was really, really sad for Aphra because it just, you know, even these two droids that, like, were by her side the entire time, like, just left her. And then Chris Anton, while very valid, they're not really friends, like, left her as well.
Mm-hmm.
And she was just all alone. And so I just had, like, this sad music playing while she was all alone. And I was like, oh. But then when she was, like, in the party and stuff, it was, like, all Lady Gaga. Anyway, that's all. It was a good choice.
I do that too, but I don't have, like, I put, like, soundtrack stuff. Mm-hmm. So when I read Dr. Aphra, usually what I end up putting is, I put music from, what is it called? Like, the Tales from the Galaxy's Edge video game, because it's, like, somewhat exploratory, like, it feels like exploration. It's not so, like, heavy, because sometimes mm-hmm. I'm like, oh, let me put some Star Wars music, but it's, like, operatic, or it's, like, too, like, it doesn't quite fit the vibe, and or sometimes is, like, too dark for Dr. Aphra. I feel like her stuff should be a little more fun, so I tend to put something, like, I'll put, like, Solo or Tales from the Galaxy's Edge, you know, something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And that's, like, usually what I have, like, on my headphones when I'm, like, doing Dr. Aphra. But it depends, like, when I'm reading, I don't know, if I'm reading something different, like, or if I'm reading, like, a Star Wars book, like, Eye of Darkness, I'll put, like, music from Ahsoka, because it's, like, a lot heavier and a lot more, mm-hmm. like, I don't want to say cinematic.
Mine was a lot more chaotic.
Yeah. But I try to, like, match the vibe to what I'm reading. So, like, when I read, what were we talking about? Rise of the Red Blade? I was listening to a lot of the Obi-Wan Kenobi music, because there's a lot of Inquisitor threads, and it's a little more heavy. But it also has some really good moments in it. And then, what was I doing that I was reading Andor? I was listening to Andor a lot when I was reading Crimson Climb. Because it's like Kira's story. And it's like really heavy. And it's not quite a like spy thing. But it is very like... It's very like survival. Like I don't know how to describe it, but it fit the vibe well. So that's the thing that I do also when I'm like reading.
Because Axel plays music. I think you created, you yourself created a bunch of YouTube kids where like we have to have two things kind of going on. I blame you. But, because Axel does the same thing where he's playing Hollow Knight, and even though Hollow Knight has its own music and its own like sounds and everything, mm-hmm. he still puts on music as well. Right,
because he wants to hear Metallica or whatever.
Yeah, but I think it's funny because he played that one song that like is, which they need multiples. I'm really sad that they only have one, and maybe I'm just mistaken because I haven't finished the game or played the second one of Jedi Survivor,
mm-hmm.
Jedi Fallen Order. This is the first one.
That's the first one.
Yes. And what was I saying? Yeah, he plays that one song. And it was over, like, he was just playing Hollow Knight, but it was in the background. And I remember watching him playing Hollow Knight with that on, and I was like, that sounds really familiar. And I was like, oh, wait, that's Jedi Fallen Order music. Why does it match so well with Hollow Knight? Especially because he was doing, like, the Colosseo stuff. Like, it just matched really nice. Well. That's all.
Cute.
So now I can't think of, like, Hollow Knight without that music.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty good. Do they have multiples, or is it just that one?
Multiple Hollow Knights?
No, multiple of those, or more of those songs in the other game, or...
Like, are you talking about a soundtrack?
Yeah, but just that one song with that one band. Like, did they make more songs, or no?
Are you talking about, like, Suga and Isana?
Yes.
The Who. So they do that song for Fallen Order, mm-hmm. and then in Jedi Survivor... There's like a lot of, there's almost like a jukebox feature to where you can like talk to the DJ and like listen to different music. So there's like, they have a lot of music. It's not all like one band. It would be different stuff. But there are like three more Who songs. Like there's Suga and Isana, and then there's like three more. So like in theory, you would go like, and you can buy the songs at the store, and then you can give them to the DJ, and then the DJ has the music. So you can walk into the bar and be like, ooh, play that one. But then it's like other stuff too. And then Jedi Survivor actually has a separate soundtrack for all of like the like in-game music. So like that stuff, like all that they listen to is on a soundtrack. And then all of the like, you know, the like the score that like we listen to, like more like the movie soundtrack or whatever,
yes.
is like on a separate thing. So there's two Jedi Survivor soundtracks, and one of them is all the like they listen to it songs.
Okay.
I don't know if that makes sense, but very cool.
Okay.
I kind of want to throw all that stuff on a playlist with like the Rex's playlist and the, mm-hmm. you know.
I really want, I haven't been trying because I haven't done it or attempted to.
I've been thinking.
I've been wanting to do a, like, playlist for It's Cat and, like, Aphra and not really Izzy, because, like, I like Izzy a lot, but I feel like I know It's Cat and Aphra a lot more
mm-hmm.
than Izzy, even though, like, I know, like, we know Izzy. I don't know. I think I love Izzy's character, but I like Aphra and It's Cat a lot more. So I wanted to do a playlist for them, but I'm really bad at getting into new music. Like, hold on. Okay, I had to cough. I love them. What was I saying? Oh, I'm really bad at getting into new music and expanding a lot. Especially because, like, even if my favorite artist gets, like, a new, not, like, a new album out, mm-hmm. I will choose like one song from there and I'll just listen to it forever if I really like it. But then I'm worried if I listen to the whole album, I'll waste my time if I don't like it. So I don't, which is a problem. But I have a lot of music in my playlist that's really random. And I really want to, but I can't tell if I want to do like what It's Cat would listen to or like the vibes I get from It's Cat and vice versa with like Aphra. Because I know you said that they're like the producer,
the Del Rey people.
Yeah, Del Rey people editors. Made one for Is Cat, And, like, there's some of them that I do agree with. Is that what she would listen to, or the vibes of its cat?
I think it's, like, the vibes of the story. That's how I get, or that's what I think. That's how it feels to me. As far as, like, I've only listened to it a couple times. Mm-hmm. You know, but, like, that's the vibes that I get. I don't get that, like, Iscat would listen to that. I feel like it's more like, oh, this is her story. Oh, this is this part. Oh, this is, like, this feeling or whatever.
Okay.
That's how I read it.
Again, the problem is, I feel like, besides, like, the cartoony, like, songs that I have a bunch in my playlist, I don't have my playlist organized. Like, I do to a point, and that was when I actually sat down with my playlist and like organized it. Like, I have ones for sleeping. Mm-hmm. That's not even like songs. It's just like music someone made for to go to bed. Then I have Peanut Butter and Jams, which is just all my songs that I have compiled into one. I have Sad Boy, which is like a lot of sad songs. I have Dad's Style, which is literally just a bunch of music that you listen to. Then I have Games, which is, you know, a lot of Final Fantasy in there, and sometimes, like, Legend of Zelda. Mm-hmm. And then I have Work Acceptable, which is, like, just without cartoon songs and stuff. But I don't know. I can't tell, like, if I will be too biased to make a playlist for It's Cat, because I feel like we're the same person, so we would just listen to the exact same music. Duh. Easy. Done.
Okay, playlist, then you're done.
Well, that's why I'm like, my playlist is done. It's fine.
Yeah. Okay. Well, there you go. You've solved your own mystery.
But Afra, too. But also, I feel like Afra would like a lot of pop. Like honestly, I think she would vibe with Lady Gaga a lot. In my own personal opinion.
Mm-hmm.
Anyway, back to Afra. Back to actual issues of Afra.
So the third story arc is basically she has the Immortal Roar crystal thing. It's activated now. She auctions it off to like all the crime syndicates and stuff. So there's like this big auction. They all come. It's like the Huts. It's the Santul Pride. It's these university people. Like, and it's all, you know. And then BT and Triple Zero are mad that they can't kill anybody. And so they call the other master, because their masters are like, it's Afra, but they're like, oh, what if Vader will let us kill people? So they call Vader, and then Vader shows up, and then they sort of like escape.
Mm-hmm.
And then also, like, some of the people there that are auctioning are like the people that enslaved Black Chrysanthemum. So he's like pissed and wants to kill these people, but they're like, hold on, wait till the auction's over.
Mm-hmm. They electrocute him like multiple times.
Yeah. They enhance him. He's like Wolverine. Like, they experimented on him and gave him.
No, like, I meant like Afra like electrocuted him a lot.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because she had to stop him. Yeah. Yes.
I was like, dang.
And then you have the one shot that has the backstory of what happened to him and why he hates them and how they like tortured him to be the best gladiator and stuff. And
basically, the journalists.
She escapes. Vader ends up with the crystal, and he like brings it to Palpatine. Like, look, I have this like awesome thing, and Palpatine's like, put it in the room.
I thought they were gonna have more of a fight. Like, they did fight, but I thought it would have been so sick if like he was able to take control of some of Vader.
Mm-hmm.
But then he was like, I actually have enhancements. Mm-hmm. It was like watching two kids like play, where, you know, they're like, if you play with a kid and you're like, oh, haha, I killed you. They're like, well, no, you didn't kill me because I'm actually very powerful. I'm more powerful than you.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, I flew away. And I'm still the queen.
Mm-hmm.
That's how it felt. I wish there was more of a fight.
I mean, the fight was like whatever, but I like that the fight, like, because for me, at least when I was reading it, the whole danger is like, oh, crap. Like, for Dr. Afra, it's like, he's gonna know I'm alive, because she already faked her death.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, when he gets there, you're like, oh no, oh no, oh no. And she's like, I sense something familiar and annoying. And then, like, he has to fight the thing, and then she kind of gets away and escapes. She ends up, like, on a beach somewhere.
I was so sad that it was a wig.
Oh, her short hair?
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it was like blue and stuff. I loved it.
Yeah, she had like a party look. In fact, there's one part that's really funny when she's like negotiating with these people and they're like, look, these are amazing artifacts, Dr. Aphra. And she's like, mask? Can you at least pretend? And they're like, oh, yes, mysterious individual who was holding the auction. And so I thought that was funny.
There was a lot of investors or like crime people that were there. Yeah. And there was one that reminded me a lot of this character that I play, but they both looked the exact same. It was like they were from the Academy, like Shadow mm-hmm. Academy.
Mm-hmm.
I have a picture there where it says spoiler time on our notes. Looks like Moira from Overwatch, but like, because she's also kind of like, well, I don't know if they're evil, but she's an evil scientist. Also, she's played by the Mon Mothma, like the new one, not the old one. I forget her name.
Genevieve O'Reilly.
Really long name. Yeah.
Interesting.
That's what she's.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know the characters you're talking about. But I like how she's like using them all against each other, and they're all sort of like outbidding each other.
Mm-hmm.
And then there's like one part where she has the little like, okay, you've received your answer. Like she ends up giving it to the university guys.
Yeah.
But like they all have a little like chip or whatever that like comes up. And
no,
it's like, no, hell no to the like the one guy that's like, and what are you offering? Well, we don't actually have a lot of money, but for the pride of the Azara, and that's your whole planet? Well, we actually only have two continents on our planet, but we're going to take over more once we get this. And then their little thing is like, hell no. There's like little funny, cute things that I always really enjoy.
There's, but then Aphra, like, one of the scientists is dying. Well, she dies, but is like, mm-hmm. Your ship, we have so much artifacts. They're all like special, like, you know, rare, blah, blah, blah. And then she dies. And then Aphra takes her ship and then returns the artifacts, which I thought was really funny because she like goes and she's like, yeah, here are the artifacts. And they're like, wow, that's so like, so sweet of you. Like, I can't believe you would do this. Like, thank you so much. They're in safe hands. It's a shame that you couldn't retrieve some of the other ones. And she's like, yeah, I don't know. And then she goes and sells them. And that's when she turns up on that island. And I have a screenshot of her. And she's like in like
vacation robe.
Like robes and stuff. And then she has a gun out. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, but cool. I thought it was because she was like, I'm going to go and do some research. All right, I've researched this entire cocktail menu.
Yeah, that was pretty good. There's another part where Vader's fighting the like the because it's like the sentience inhabits all these technology, right? So it can just take over any robot. And in fact, like one of the first things is like, you know, technopathy is impossible. Like the droids are there bidding on it, and they're like. And she's like, okay, well, I mean, I can prove it to you, but you're going to have to risk. And he's like, I volunteer. Are you sure you're able to risk it? Yes, because, like, technology, it's impossible. And then it takes over control of him, and then they, like, kill him. And then the other one's like, it is possible.
I wish that everyone had what that droid has, where, like, he says, like, sarcastically, and then he says what he's going to say. Or it says passive-aggressively, says, and then he says what he's going to say.
Nice.
That'd be so much easier to understand people in real life. But
yeah, there's like so when Vader's fighting the like super droid, like the core one with all the stuff or whatever, it's like this big droid with two lightsabers and it's like killing everybody. And then like at one point, Vader's just like throwing it back and forth against the wall with the force, because it still doesn't have the force, even though it's supposed to be the force. Yeah. But yeah.
It's just like at least four panels of it too, just
yeah, and it's like getting more destroyed as he's throwing pieces of it against the wall at the end. It's pretty
I also had another favorite that I screenshotted, and it's when the journalists go to interview Chrysantin, and the one guy's speaking Shriwook and he's like, this is what I said, sorry, gender non-specific honorific pronoun, would you kindly have leave my head attached to my body. And it reminded me of how it felt talking to this one guy at school, because he's a very conservative person, and he wasn't a very nice person either. And I guess he thought he upset me somehow. And he was like, look, look, Lizzie, you don't need to get upset. It's okay. Like, Lizzie, don't get mad at me. I was like, not even doing anything. And I was like, I'm not doing nothing in there. And he was like messing up pronouns, and it was a whole thing. But he was, that's just like, I read that and I was like, that reminds me of like when people think that, you know, people of the LGBT, like, well, some do, like, they're just going to get so mad at, like, they're just so mad at the world and everyone, and they hate, like, straight people, and blah, blah, blah. No, just respect us. Like, I don't know. I don't know why. I thought that was funny, because it was, like, non-specific gender honorific. I thought it was cute.
Yeah, I remember that part. This issue is kind of cool. This is, like, the one-off, the annual. And it just goes, like I said, into Black Chrysanthemum's background and stuff. And it's kind of cool because you're like, oh, okay, like, now I know his backstory. But then in the current issues, like, the people, the Zonti brothers or whatever, are, like, there bidding. And she's like, okay, you can have him now. You can kill him now. Like, you know. And then he ends up leaving because he's, like, only with Afra because, you know, she owes him money. And then the droids leave. She basically has to free them so they can, like, not give her to Vader. And so now the droids are, like, actually freed, which is not great. And then they leave.
Yeah, that was... like, yay, free. Like, I totally understand, because they're droids, and he, like, 000 wants to do his own thing. But, like, it seemed like he respected Afra for a while, and still respected Afra. Mm-hmm. So I just... that was, like, sad that he left.
Mm-hmm.
I'm glad that he didn't kill her or torture her or anything. So that was
There's a good line. Where he's like, you know, till we meet again. And she's like, can we say just say goodbye? And he's like, till we meet again.
Yeah.
That was pretty good. I do and like then the murder he, like, droids.
Yeah, on another planet, he takes that one guy and, like, uses him to lure his enemies in and kills them. And, like, and then he's having the, like, guy called 000 Master. That was kind of fun.
Mm-hmm.
Justice for droids.
Rad. So now they're free. Dr. Afra made a bunch of money. Vader maybe knows she's back, but not sure. Black Chrysanthemum is on the run somewhere. And Vader took the consciousness and put it in Palpatine's vault. Or whatever.
It's so mean. Like, it's not actually mean. It's just like, I would be so... I don't know, because can you imagine being stuck in this little crystal and now you're just someone's little thing to look at?
I don't know. Like, I'm like, it's a digital recreation. It's not really him, right?
I guess so. But it thinks it's him.
That's true. Or it's programmed to think that it's him.
Yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I thought that was cool. I like the ideas, but I also like the, you know. I just like the whole, like, auction kind of thing that just goes all crazy, and Dr. Afra keeps, like, double, triple-crossing everybody.
Mm-hmm.
Which is, you know, good times. Ooh, okay. So I'm, like, I'm looking a little bit ahead because I have the next review, but this is the next one that you haven't got to yet. I think the next series is called Dr. Afra Remastered. And I'm remembering that I really like the art in this, like, from here on out. I super enjoy the art. And then things start getting a little bit crazy. And this also has one of my favorite guys from Rogue One, Tam Pazla. Yeah. Who's like, he's like a dude in armor that's like in Rogue One in the background on Jeddah somewhere. But like here you get to see more of his story. And he's like this very enthusiastic cop. I don't know. But he's like super funny. I don't know. So we'll see. When you get to that, well, I'm excited for you to get to this part and let me know what you think. And there's also like this noble swordsman, a survivor of Alderaan. There's like so many people. Yeah, good times. All right. I mean, any last thoughts? Are you excited to continue Dr. Afra's journey?
Yes. On it, like, I hate that I don't read her things until you're like, hey, let's podcast about it. I'm like, okay, now it's time to read it. Because I should just read it because I still enjoy it. But then, like, it's so, for some reason, like, out of sight, out of mind to me that I'm just like, okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know Aphra. So I don't actually, like, read her things on my own, and I should.
Now you're really going to know Aphra.
Yeah. So, so I should try to read her more often.
Yeah.
But only if Marvel Comics can keep up with me skipping fight scenes.
Yeah, no, that's fine. You should be just fine. You got, like, a whole series half to go, and then the next series. But you've already done War of the Bounty Hunters, so, like, but it's still going, so we'll see. Oh, I mean, I guess we should have talked about this before, but there's a really cool little story, and from a certain point of view, Kieran Gillen writes one of the stories during a certain A New Hope, and is Dr. Aphra. And, like, she's on Dantooine, and I think it's, like, you know, the part of the movie where Leia has lied and said that the Rebel base is on Dantooine, and she's, like, there, like, checking the Rebel base, and it's like, see if they left, you know, or whatever, and, like, the Imperials arrive, and she ends up getting, like, caught. But she's like, oh, I'm not a Rebel, I'm just, like, you know, I'm just a scavenger, or whatever, you know. But it's, like, a pretty cool, really good little story mm-hmm. with Dr. Aphra, like, during A New Hope, and that, like, in theory, that's the first time we ever meet her. Like, that would be before she met Vader and all that. Oh, no, I guess we've seen some of her school hijinks, huh?
Yeah.
Okay, so, like,
some yeah. of it, though.
Interesting. I don't know. I think it's a really good little story. And, like, because Dr. Aphra is mainly in comics, but she is in that one mm-hmm. book. All right. I think that's a podcast. We can call it, and then I will give you a little list for you to go read. And then I'll catch up with you and we'll see how it goes.
Yeah. Deal?
Sounds Roger good. That. All right. Any, you want to plugs, do your last pluggables?
I don't think I really have any. I mean, I have TikTok, but I haven't done anything. I have so many ideas, but then I just don't do it. And now I actually have the time to do it, and I don't do it.
Okay. Well, check us out, not doing things at theroguerebels.com. Go like our Facebook page. We have a TikTok at The Rogue Rebels where we will be posting or not. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, good times. Mm-hmm. Listen to this podcast. Share it with your friends. Enjoy yes. Dr. Aphra, wonderful rogue archaeologist nonsense. Murder Droids, Black Chrysanthemum. This is a great series for all kinds of, like, this is consistently one of the funnest Star Wars series around. And I think that's a thing that, like, for me, that's one of the most enjoyable things about it, is that it is not afraid to have fun, which sometimes Star Wars can be like that. Mm-hmm. Sometimes Star Wars can take itself too seriously, and, like, it misses a little bit of that fun. So I really like that Dr. Aphra never misses the mark on having fun.
Having fun, some seriousness, some coolness,
mm-hmm.
a little bit of sadness, but, like, sadness with some funny stuff because she just makes jokes about when she's sad. And yes.
And Dr. Aphra is just the worst, to be fair.
Why is she the worst?
She's horrible. She backstabs everybody.
So?
Yeah.
How is that the worst?
That's literally the worst. You can't trust her. You can't depend on her.
Uh-huh.
She's not a good person to have in your corner, but she is so very entertaining to read.
So what? She is just looking out for herself.
What?
She's just looking out for herself.
At the expense of everybody else.
Yes. So that's not how you do it. She's a survivor.
Yeah. Yeah. Anyway. She's okay. Survive. Survive, little one.